Tape 15. This is Minnesota Horizon, session number 6. The first speaker for this session is James Solom, Director of the Office of Local and Urban Affairs, Minnesota State Planning Agency. His topic, Minnesota's Government Environment, Financing Government.
You have seen and heard in the other presentations a discussion of some of the functional problems and the major issues facing the state of Minnesota. You've also looked at the larger social and economic environment within which these issues will be resolved. In this section, we'll look at the public sector, federal, state, and local government, what it does, and what some of the major issues are that face the public sector. This will not be a complete discussion of all issues facing federal, state, and local governments. We'll be using data that should be thought of as indicators only, which makes a point, demonstrates a relationship, and shows a major emphasis. We want to show the extent to which the legislature and its decisions influence all other levels of government. Our objective is a better understanding of the relationships which exist between state government and the other levels and other types of government that we have. These relationships among the various levels of government, federal, state, and national, are complex. They're confusing, they're sometimes contradictory, they're often competitive, and they are always dominated by the fiscal element. It's important in understanding this federal system to remember that local government receives all of its powers, responsibilities, and authority from state government. The U.S. Constitution says nothing about local government. State laws establish the systems of local government which exist in each of the 50 states. And in Minnesota, that system of local government is fairly complex. We have, as of 1972, about 3,400 units of local government. They include 854 municipalities, 87 counties, 436 school districts. You've already heard the census shows 445 because they count some special districts, about 1,800 townships, and 211 special districts. In 1952, the state of Minnesota had over 9,000 units of local government, 6,200 of which were school districts. The units, by the way, which are increasing most rapidly now, are special districts, which have increased from 148 in 1967 to 211 in 1972. Most of the people in the state live in incorporated areas or areas served by municipal government. But nearly a million live in areas served by units of government with a very small population. In 1970, about 21% of the state's total population lived where the unit of local government served a population of fewer than 1,000 people. For units of local government, the 70 census data also shows that about 66% of the units of municipal government had a population of less than 1,000, 92% of the townships had a population of less than 1,000, and about half of the counties a population of less than 15,000. Thus, we are a state with a relatively large number of units of local government, the seventh largest out of the 50 states, but we are also a state where many units serve small populations. In trying to understand the federal system and its complexity, we'll start with and emphasize some of the fiscal relationships within that system. The most recent data available for nationwide comparative purposes is from 72-73. In looking at which level originates or raises the revenues and which level spends the dollars finally that flow through the system, we can begin to see some of the kinds of relationships that are important to understand for the future. In 1972-1973, the federal government raised 62%, and this number is down on the bottom of that slide, 62% of total nationwide state, local, federal revenues for the whole public sector. state governments about 20%, local governments the remaining 18%. But after all intergovernmental transfers were made from the federal to state and state to local, the federal government spent 52% of the money, states 18%, and local governments 30%. This is nationwide. This shows, first of all, the importance of both federal and state levels as mechanisms for the flow of intergovernmental monies, aids, grant programs, and the like, between the various levels and various types of government. When we look only at Minnesota, in terms of which level, state, federal, local, raises the money and which level makes final expenditures, we see an interesting and important relationship. Again, for 72-73, the federal government provided about 18% of all revenues of state and local government. State governments provided about 49%, and local governments 33%. But after all intergovernmental transfers, state aids, federal aids that flow through state agencies, state governments spent only 32% of that total, and local governments spent 68% of the total. This is an important number. In only two other states, California and New York, do local governments spend a larger portion, or state government a smaller portion, of total state local revenues than in Minnesota, only two other states. This indicator shows both the extent to which in Minnesota we rely on local government and the extent to which state government raises and then reallocates revenues back to local governments. It also points up the importance of the ways by which this is done, by the ways by which revenues are raised and then transferred back to local governments, the aid distribution formulas for schools, for local government, and for property tax relief. In order to better understand the extent to which Minnesota supports activities in the public sector and the extent to which state government is a key factor in the public sector, we'll now look at some data which compares Minnesota to the 49 other states, beginning with per capita comparisons of sources of state general revenue. By total general revenue, we mean all revenues available to state government for either direct state expenditures or state aids. Again, this is 73 data. The last available is compiled by the Census Bureau. Minnesota ranks seventh among the 50 states in per capita total general revenues raised for purposes of state government. In terms of total per capita revenue which comes from taxes, Minnesota ranks fourth with a total of $420 per capita compared to the 50 state average of $325. Another important source of total general revenues is the federal government. Here, Minnesota's per capita amount is $148. It's rank 28th. It's important to note that Minnesota ranks higher than other states in the Midwest, but not as high as the national average, where the per capita amount is $150. Some preliminary data for 1974, which has been analyzed, shows that Minnesota continues to do quite a bit better than other Midwestern states, and that our 1974 ranking between the 50 states, again, is somewhat better than it was in 1973. In comparing activities in the public sector in Minnesota with that of the other 49 states, one basic fact stands out. That is the extent to which both state and local governments support the function of education. The per capita data comparing the 50 states shows that Minnesota's total expenditure on education of $297 is 150% of the national average, which is about $198. State aid for education, again, is 150% of the national average. And state support for institutions of higher education is 165% of the national average. Other important expenditure areas for state government are highways, which is at about 111% of the national average, and welfare, which is a bit below the national average. If we look at just state aids to local government, the 73 data shows that only three other states, New York, California, and Wisconsin, make larger dollar contributions for this item of state support to local government than does Minnesota. If we look also at the changes that have taken place, again, as an indicator, it shows some interesting sorts of things in terms of Minnesota's comparison to other states. While total state general expenditures increased 14% from FY72 to FY73, state aids, intergovernmental expenditures, so local governments, increased 25%. Direct state expenditures, the cost of running the agencies of state government, increased only 2.8%, which is below the national average. Total education expenditures increased about 20%, but state aid to school districts increased 44%, making Minnesota the state with the third highest rate of increase. Rates of increase for other functions of state government tended to be about average or a bit below average. If we look at per capita spending for both state and local government now, add local government to our numbers, spending at the U.S. average per capita is $331.50 for education. That's the average of all 50 states. Here, Minnesota, with a per capita average of over $424, ranks fourth out of the 50 states in total state and local spending on education. Alaska, Delaware, and Wyoming rank first to third. And we could argue that Alaska and Wyoming are atypical states because of their population distribution. And the neighboring states of South Dakota, Wisconsin, Iowa, and North Dakota all rank well below Minnesota in per capita state and local spending on all education. Using as an indicator now spending only on local schools, this is just local schools, Minnesota ranks fifth with a per capita average of about $297 and a U.S. average of about $232. Minnesota ranks fifth with, again, neighboring states ranking far below Minnesota. Where then do we get the resources, and how are these monies raised at the state level? By now we understand that most of the money state government raises is reallocated back to local governments, and that the fiscal decisions made by state government are not really state decisions at all, but they're intergovernmental or state-local fiscal decisions, and that the most important expenditure decisions the legislature makes concern school aid, state aid to local government, and property tax relief. For the 73-75 biennium, the following charts show where the money has come from, as well as where it goes. Individual and corporate income taxes make up the largest revenue source for state government. While education, tax relief, and other aids to local government make up the largest source of expenditures. For the 73-75 biennium, 72% of the total estimated expenditures of state-raised funds goes to the combination of education, local government aids, and tax relief. Welfare and corrections make up about 12% of total state expenditures, and the operation of all other agencies of state government account for about 5%, and miscellaneous expenditures, 11%. And looking at where the money comes from, for total state and local tax receipts, it's important to note some of the changes that have taken place. Property tax levies, in terms of a percentage of total state local tax receipts, have declined from almost 47% of the total in 1971 to 34% of total state local tax receipts in 1974. Income taxes, including individual and corporate taxes, now account for about 32% of total state local tax receipts. Sales tax is 12% and gross receipts tax is 15%. The remainder of total revenues comes in much smaller percentages and much smaller amounts from a variety of other sources. Minnesota has then made a major shift from the utilization of the property tax to the utilization of income and other taxes. And the important point about that is that state government now plays a fundamental and basic role in raising and reallocating revenues for local governments, school districts, counties, municipalities, and all the rest. This change in the raising and distributing of state revenues has had a direct impact on local governments. As an example, municipalities have shown in just 1 year a decrease in revenues, in tax revenues as a percent of total revenues, from 32 to 29% for municipal governments. Revenues from other levels for municipal governments, including state aid and federal aids, have increased from 32 to 36% of the total revenues for municipal government. Few, if any, other states have had this major a shift in sources of local revenues. In the last 2 years, much has been made of the importance of federal revenue sharing and the extent to which it has been a new major source of revenue for both state and local government. Clearly, it's important, but it is also true that in Minnesota, compared to many other states, or unlike many other states, state aid to local government is considerably larger than federal revenue sharing and has had much more of an effect on local governments than has federal revenue sharing. Minneapolis, for example, receives about $19 million per year in state aid for just city government and about $6.5 million in federal revenue sharing. A similar situation exists in other communities around the state. Local governments spend their resources in ways which have a direct and immediate impact on services and facilities for people. Cities spend about 60% of their revenues on the combination of public safety, highways, and sanitation, with statewide, by the way, sanitation being the largest percentage expenditure of city governments. County governments spend about 85% of their revenues on the combination of human services and highways. Townships spend between 70 and 80% of their revenues on roads and bridges. We have seen in this very brief review and analysis of some basic indicators the importance of the fiscal relationships that exist within our intergovernmental system and the place of state government within this system, and the importance of the fiscal decisions that the state legislature must make. As you have seen in other presentations, the functional emphasis of what state government does will probably change because our population composition and distribution is changing. But the importance of state government as a place where revenues are raised and then reallocated to other units and other levels to provide the resources to directly serve people will not change. State government and the legislature is inescapably involved in decisions about what other units, including all forms of local government, do, the way in which they do it, and the resources they have available to get it done. State-local relationships are among the most important issues that a state legislative body must face. The fiscal and policy decisions you make are as important to local governments as they are to state agencies. The system within which we work is interdependent. The legislature defines those relationships and establishes the rules by which we all operate. That basic legislative role and its importance will not change.